Hello, folks. Welcome to Revival Now. I'm your host, John Saxbury. I want to talk to you today about His presence changes everything. And I know there's a song out there that it was probably well-meaning in the person's heart when they wrote it, but it's not your grace changes everything. It's your presence changes everything. The grace comes after the encounter. When the presence of God comes to encounter you, the grace follows that. Amen? It's not the other way around. It's not your grace changes everything. It's your presence changes everything. God steps in the midst of your situation. Jesus steps in the midst of your situations. It changes everything. It boosts everything. Your whole outlook on life is different. Everything becomes different around you. The way you talk, the way you walk, the way you present yourself, the way people see you. I mean, it's all of those things. I mean, it's not just your grace come. I mean, people for years have tried to sing stuff that's worse, trying to put it as worship songs, and it's not worship when you're saying something totally off. Well, it misdirects people. Amen. It's your presence changes everything. Go right now, go with me to the book of Luke. Next couple of weeks, I'm going to be with Dr. Rodney Howard Brown over in Collinsville, Illinois, at the Gateway Center. Go with me to the book of Luke, chapter 4, verse 16. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set liberty those who are bruised, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And when He rolled the scroll up and gave it back to the minister, He sat down upon a certain seat, which was the Messiah seat that nobody was allowed to sit in, and it was for the coming Messiah. And all eyes were fixed on Him. Sorry, I couldn't read because the light glared in my eyes. Everybody's eyes was on Him. They're like, "Who is this guy?" They were pretty much glaring at Him, like, "Who do you think you are to come in there and just come sit down and claim that you're the Messiah, the one true living God?" And He began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your ears." And all spoke, I mean, right then and there, that was the first encounter with God that people had on earth. People were like, what? I mean, it changed that moment right there. That moment that He stepped up and proclaimed that changed everything politically, theologically, spiritually, everything. It changed everything. It changed the course of everything. I mean, literally everything. I mean, people, they get into this thing where they think that they treat Jesus like He's just some sort of pretty picture on their wall. No, He's not a pretty picture on their wall. He walks in, everything changes. It's because religion is cartoon Jesus so much, where he's like a storybook figure. That's not who He is. He's the Son of God. He's all powerful. He's all magnificent. He's a magnificent, all powerful, all knowing, all present being. His Holy Spirit is the fiber of His being. It comes to reside here amongst us, in us, through us. I mean, you don't need anything else. You don't need books. You don't need classes. You know, I mean, think about the woman with the issue of wealth. When she encountered Jesus, her life changed forever. And don't tell me it wouldn't. The woman that was getting ready to be stoned to death. their lives changed forever. I mean, blind Bartimaeus, Jairus' daughter, their lives were forever changed the moment they encountered Jesus. The minute they encountered Jesus, their lives changed forever. It changed for all of eternity. That's what people are lacking the encounter with God. Amen? I mean, churches are preaching this garbage, all this garbage, and it's like, where are you at, buddy? Well, what's so special about this? Well, the worship's pretty good. If their worship's good and the pastor's not and the pastor's dead as a rock, you're just being entertained by the worship. And some of these churches that people hear the worship on, it's like, wait a minute. This isn't worship. This is something else. You know. I mean, it's totally opposite of what the scripture teaches. We got to stay in tune for what the scripture teaches. You know, I mean, look at Christmas songs. Churches will be singing this stuff, singing Silent Night, Holy Night, All is Calm, All is Bright. What? The Bible says all of heaven and earth was rejoicing. I mean, the entire earth at one time knew. They knew when Jesus showed up because his presence changed everything. The minute he was born, time was split in two. Time was split in two. A.D., B.C., and A.D. That time was split right down the middle. His presence splits time down the middle. It's a dividing line. That cross is not a pretty piece of furniture. It's a dividing line. When it shows up, people know that know instantly that Jesus Christ is Lord. Instantly, when you see that cross, what do you think? Jesus dying, right? His presence changes everything, folks. I mean, we've got an end of this rut where we've thinking that we just need to just step away from all this, the presence of God, and just focus on all his bogus teachings, and focused on let's do all your life boxes, okay? Let's do all these boxes and represent our lives, and we're living in this box right here as the church right now, because we're gonna be separated from everything else, and we're gonna focus on how many times we can pray again today to save our marriage? How many times we can rub oil over our unsaved husband's head or place prayer cloths underneath their unsaved husband's pillow? I mean, if you got a husband that's not saved, that's away from the Lord, go out to Victoria's Secret and buy some lingerie. Get some good look, good smell and perfume, and entice him a little bit. Wait for him to come in the door and then lead him to the bedroom. You get him saved in a heartbeat. Stop preaching to him. Stop preaching to him a bunch of garbage, religious garbage. I'm serious. I mean, religious people, it's the same thing with religious people. They don't do nothing to win them. They do whatever they can to chase them off. They clean the fish before it's even caught. Then you go to these other churches where they bring somebody in and they get people born again, and they make them go through 18 months where the class is on, teaching them how much demons that they have in them, or how that they have generational curses. Or give them self-help Christianity books. I'm thinking, what? Without the presence of God, we are helpless. There is no self-help. Without the ever-present Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you, you are helpless. You are not going to help yourself at all. You're not going to help yourself, not one bit. I mean, what are these books and teachings and all this teaching people about how many generations back your grandfather was an alcoholic back about, you had your great-great-great-grandfather was an alcoholic, and your great-great-grandmother was a bank robber, and your great-great-great-great-grandfather was a dope dealer. So you're a bank robbing dope, so they teach you that you're a bank robbing dope dealing alcoholic. Because you got all these generational curses. I'm sorry, but when you were born again, the Bible simply says, it is written, the curse of sin is broken. You become joint heirs with Christ. You become partnership with Christ when you become born again. You become a new creature. The old things have passed away. Stop preaching that garbage down, pushing that garbage down people's throats. If you're a pastor and you're preaching all this crap, rip those notes up and burn them. You're just taking the person who just got set free and it's got delivered, and you're driving them back into bondage, making it. And you got these people that are running it. They have inferiority problems. They have problems with they think they have authority issues, so they're going to make this person feel inferior to you, to them, and make them feel like they got more stuff wrong with them, so they can keep them coming, so they can keep paying money to come to the classes, so they can keep selling them their books and tapes and teachings, and making them pay for all these bogus retreats that never gets people free. It's the presence of God, the presence and the power of God, the anointing, the manifest presence, power of God, coming into a person's life and touching a person's life and changing their life forever. It's His power that changes everything. Just like with the apostles, the 12 disciples, the 11 disciples actually, because Judas committed hara kiri after he turncoated on Jesus. He turned heel and turncoated on Jesus. The 11 disciples, you know, that presence changed everything. When he told them, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And they went up into the upper room and worshipped until the presence and the power hit. Then Peter stood up and said, this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. I mean, look at Mary Magdalene. She encountered Jesus right then and there at the grave. She went to her grave preaching the gospel. It changed everything. The presence and the power of God changes everything. Not some religious hocus-pocus game that these churches are shoving down people's throats. How can you call your show a blessed life when you're teaching them about curses? I mean, seriously. How do you expect them to live a blessed life when you're making money off of teaching them how many curses they have? That they have all these curses. They've got a spirit of this and they got a spirit of that. The curse of sin is broken once the person is born again. Get that through your cotton-picking, stinking head. This is not a game. I mean, we've got to quit. We've got to break our minds free of this crap. It's all crap. It's a bunch of garbage. Pastors that won't stand up and take a stand against abortion. You have pastors that don't want to talk about the presence of God. There's pastors that are afraid to preach on the Holy Spirit because they don't want to lose control of the service. It ain't your service to begin with. It ain't your church to begin with, nor is it your service. It all belongs to Him. Well, I don't know. I don't want to offend nobody. Offend people? What? I mean, you have to create an offense sometimes. Offense is good in a lot of ways. The Bible is an offense. It offends the unbeliever and provokes him into salvation. It provokes him. The presence of God is an offender. Jesus didn't care if he offended people or not. I mean, look what he said to the Pharisees. When he told them, you wash the outside of the cup while the inside stays tainted. It's not what comes out of a man, what goes into a man, but what comes out that defiles him. He said that stuff, it forever changed people's lives. It may have ticked them off. He offended them, but he didn't care. He went into the temple. They were selling sacrifices. So he started beating them with whips and kicking their tables over, cursing at them, telling them to get out of his place. I imagine he said, get the hell out of my house. You know, get the hell out of here, you bunch of jackasses. It is written, my house shall be a house of prayer, worship and prayer, but you've made it into a house of demons, a den of demons and what the hell he ever said it. I don't have my Bible open. A den of thieves and demons and thieves, one translation says. You made a den of robbers and thieves. I mean, they're using the presence of God for their own advantage. The house of God was being used for their own advantage. That's what these preachers are doing out there that are preaching all this garbage and won't preach on the presence of God. They're using the house of God for their own advantage. They're using it for their own agenda, their own purpose, to push their worship out there and not worry about and preach some garbage teaching that doesn't make any sense. I mean, I turned on Christian television a couple weeks ago, just out of grins and giggles, and they're sitting there, the pastor was just like rambling on, and I just trying to, and it was just like, what did he just get done saying? I mean, he was like talking about self-help. You need to get into these self-help books, and get into this, and get into that, and understand why that thing that's in your life that's been there for thousands of generations. You're talking to a bunch of believers. That thing is gone. That sucker has been removed. When they became born again, they became a brand new creature. Everything was washed away. And another one was talking about, which I wanted to rip them through the screen for. We gotta worship. We gotta have, because we're under the atonement. Talking about how we're under the atonement. We're not under no atonement, by the way. We're under the remission of sin. That means the debt was canceled. The thing was paid off. Jesus came and flipped the bill. Jesus flipped the bill. If somebody comes, you're going to a restaurant and somebody flips the bill, you don't say, well, I know I can't eat that right now. You can flip the bill. I know you've already paid for this, but I'm not going to eat. I'm just not going to eat. Just go ahead and serve somebody else. How stupid is that? How stupid can you be? I mean, give me a break. The debt was canceled. The devil it doesn't have as much power as these preachers are giving him. The devil's like scratching his head like, I did that? Did I do that? Really? I can see the devil like Steve Urkel and James down in heaven. Did I do that? I mean, seriously. The devil's been defeated. All this stuff that they're teaching you about generational curses, it's all a hoax. It's all a crock of crap. And these pastors need to get right with God. They know better, but they need to get right with God. They know better. They just want to. They want to push something out there to gain more revenue for their church by pushing all these books and teachings and stuff. Because the people are like, oh my God, I got something wrong with me. I've got something wrong with that. Church, the house of God is supposed to be like a hospital, not an injury center. You know, Amen. Hello? I'm serious. This garbage that the pastor and preachers are preaching is got to end. It's got to end. We cannot get people set free by telling them they're full of bondage. I mean, the job is, if there's something there and there's a demon there when they get born again, cast that thing out and get rid of it and get them on with their life and build them up spiritually. Build them up in the Word. Teach them to go out and serve. Teach them to go out and do the work of ministry. Not just they get saved and that's all there is. Or you get saved and they have to sit down in the church pew. Everybody else can participate in ministry, but not that person. We want to keep that person right there so we know at all times what they're doing and we can see them, and we want the recognition over here. But if that person starts getting recognition, maybe that person's what that church needed to break that religious spirit. Maybe God put that person in your congregation to teach you all a lesson. To show you something, show you what you're doing wrong. Amen. I mean, they say, well, you seem like you're beating us. No, I'm not beating nobody over the head. I'm telling you the truth to get you to wake up. Sometimes you got to shake somebody to wake them up. It's time the church gets shook up. So what if I offend some people and run over some toes? They need it. They need it. They need it to happen. Amen. I mean, I didn't come into ministry so I can teach some boring, bogus, irrelevant sermon. Though the 5 points of the 5 points of the 10 steps of the 52 ways to get happiness in your life. I'm not dead. It's the presence of God. His presence changes everything. I mean, think about it. When He showed up in the upper room as the Holy Spirit. Think about how the course of history was totally changed. That 120 went to 5,000. That 5,000 grew to 10,000, and to 120,000, and it's an ever-growing thing. Pastors think that Jesus needs their help in keeping the church going. The church is a living organism, for one. It's an ever-growing, breathing thing. It's an eternal, ever-growing, breathing thing. We are the body of an eternal God. We make up the body of an eternal God. We're one army. We're all out for one purpose. Amen. I mean, I've heard plenty of pastors with the stuff that they're teaching. Oh, we're just they divide. It's like a conquer and divide game that the enemy's used in the church against preachers. Well, this church over here does this, this, and this, and they act jealous, and it's like, do what you're called to do. Don't worry about what other people are called to do. You need to get into the presence of God and let the presence of God run your church. For one. A lot of pastors won't let them run his church because they won't let them run their church because they're too scared of letting go of power. That something else would be an authority instead. They're too scared to yield into the Holy Spirit. Too afraid the big givers are going to leave. The big and rich are going to leave. Now make sure you got a little seat up in the front row. Better make sure we preach them happy. Make sure we keep them happy. Because we don't want that electric bill to go out. If you're called to preach the gospel, you don't worry about your finances. You get out and preach the word of God. You preach it in spirit and in truth. And God will supply everything you need. He'll supply everything. He'll supply everything for your home. He'll supply everything to your church staff and their homes. If you're truly called of God, it won't cost you. It won't come out of your pocket. It comes out of His. You don't have to worry about other people's money. You'll know that God provided it. Just like this ministry here. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, God provided this whole thing to happen. God allowed this. It was His hand that did this. I may have did the labor work of thing and everything, but when it comes down to it, He has this, the rightful say. This is His. This isn't mine. This is His. Too many pastors are claiming ownership to what they don't have, what they do not own. Pastors are always trying to be possessive. They're always trying to be want credit for what they're teaching. It's not yours. It wasn't your message. God may have inspired you to write it, but when ultimately it's His message. It's His gospel. It's His word. It's His church. It's His Spirit that lives within us. And it's His Spirit that changes everything. It's not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord. I mean, the church has got to come snap out of it. Houses should be begging for, the houses of God should be overflowing with people wanting to come to the salvation knowledge of Jesus Christ. But instead, they're half empty. One, because they only have believers that don't want to get up off their rear ends and do something. Two, you got people who are social climbers in the church, and they sit there and they put a hindrance to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I mean, if you had people that are social climbers in your church and they're forming social circles, kick them out. They're not there for the presence of God. They're not there to get fed. They're not going to kick them out and let somebody that's hungry come in and sit in that place where they were. That's right. I said, kick them out of church. Kick them out. Pastors need to quit tolerating it. Quit taking it. Put your foot down. Use your iron fist that God gave you. Amen. I mean, I don't want to sit there and preach like I'm hammering on anybody. But there's got to be a time where it ends. There's got to be a time where it comes to a stop and the church wakes up and thinks about what they're doing. Because it ain't right. You don't replace the Holy Spirit with anything. It's never symbolism over substance. It's substance plus substance plus substance plus substance. Presence plus presence plus presence plus presence. Without those, nothing can happen. The Bible says without Him, nothing was made. Think about that. Get that, let you chew on that for a while. Amen? I'm going to get going here. I'm going to go ahead and log off the program. I love you guys. I'll come back here. I'll probably try to come back on here tomorrow night and talk more. I got to get going. I love you. Jesus loves you. Have a great weekend, the Lord. This is a production of Revival Now International Media Ministries. For more information on our ministry, please go to please email me at revivalistjfs3@gmail.com or text or call 636-368-6490. God bless you and have a great day.